downloads went wow on a Monday after Sunday's message to him. But 2 Kings chapter 5, look at something tonight. I'm just going to call a tale of two servants. A tale of two servants. I was listening to my Bible this week, and I love to listen to it read. And, you know, that's amazing. You know, it really, I know why Satan didn't let me do it, because it's so powerful, you know. But it's just, every time I get back into it, it just really strengthens me. And you see some encouraging things. And as hopefully your goal is to be a good servant of the Lord, I believe it is. And the great contrast, a great story that we've looked at probably numerous times, but I'm always amazed how the Word of God is so rich, you know, and I feel for people to get tired of it, you know. I mean, you're just missing out, man. But 2 Kings chapter 5, we're just going to read through most of the chapter probably. Actually, we'll just pray, and then we'll just go through the verses, and we'll take it from there. And Lord, tonight, I thank you for just the Word of God, and I just pray that you'll just open our understanding and see some things about these two servants that will encourage our hearts to trust you more. What a wonderful, magnificent God you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just give you the background a little bit. You know, the two servants are, of course, there's a little maid here, Naaman. She didn't even have a name in the story. And then the servant of the man of God, Gehazi. And both were servants, and both lived out their lives. And one had an honorable end and had an honorable result. One didn't have an honorable result. And it's really surprising when you think about the two that you would think that the servant of the man of God would have had the best story, you know. And I think sometimes we, in the day that we live in, that God's blessings are so rich, and we don't really realize it because we want His blessing to be manifested physically in the now and now, instead of realizing they come through the person of Christ Himself. Here's Gehazi, the servant of the man of God, spending time with him, seeing widow's son brought back to life, seeing these miracles, all these things, and he's going to let himself be turned aside. And then we see a little maid here, taken from her homeland into captivity and bondage, but just has such a perspective of God and the servant of God that it really moves the heart of a king. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 1, it says, "Now Naaman, the captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable, because by him the Lord had given great deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and had brought away captive out of the land of Israel, little maid, and she waited on Naaman's wife." So the Syrians captured this little girl, and she's now the servant of this man Naaman, his wife, and which makes you indirectly a servant of his. But she has a perspective, and it's known that she has that Naaman has leprosy, and here she is, and in her situation. Three things about her. We'll just write them down if you want to, and just I'll say them right now. You know, the contentment with her condition. So she has a contentment with her condition, the compassion for her captors, and the confidence of her confession. Now, you know, she's not complaining about she's not in her homeland, so she's content where she's at. She accepts God's lot in life for her, and she's not complaining. And you think of anybody, now she's a captive, she could have been bitter toward Naaman. She's not bothered by that. She has great compassion for the people that actually have her in bondage. And as such, it really, you see the magnitude of that in verse number 3, because it's known that she's in, Naaman has leprosy, mind you, and she has such a statement here in verse 3, "Would God, my Lord, with the prophet that is in Samaria." And you know, it's not just saying, you know, as I thought about that statement, she could say, "You know what? If my master was in Samaria, there's a prophet there that could heal him." You know, but no, it was like, "Man, I just wish my Lord Naaman, the master, was with the prophet in Samaria, because he would heal him." Just that heartfelt "would to God." You know, and people used to say that long ago, "Would to God." I mean, that was. When you said "would to God," that meant it was something that was close to your heart that you really wish could happen. And she had great compassion on her captors, you know. And then she says, with great confidence that he would recover him of his leprosy. And I want you to think about the magnitude of this. There's no bitterness, no animosity, no judgment. Just, again, she has confidence in the prophet that is in Samaria, that he would take care of the situation and not bringing the judgment, but believing that what God stands for is cleansing people and helping people, and Elisha being a representative of that. She has such confidence in that. And it causes, what I notice about this testimony that really is not new to anybody probably, but in verse number 5, you know, the king just overhears this. You know, and a little maid taken from captive, you know, and I'm just thinking all these three things had to move her, because here she was content. She'd been complaining, but she has such a heart for whom she's serving. And little verses like in Colossians 3:23, we say, "And what should we do? Do hardly as unto the Lord, not unto man." Now we can really be content in wherever we're at, you know, and allow God to empower us. Because when we work for the Lord, it changes the perspective of everything. And obviously she didn't know that verse yet, but she had a heart that said, "You know what? I'm just serving. Even though I'm a servant here, I've been taking my land. I still am a representative of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords." And the king here just overhears this, and when somebody brings word, well, let's just read it here. Verse 4, "And one went in and told his Lord, saying, thus and thus said the maid that is in the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, go, and I will send a letter unto the king of Israel. And he departed and took with him 10 talents of silver and 6,000 pieces of gold and 10 changes of raiment." So however she said, he was pretty convinced that she knew what she was talking about. You think about that. And now the king, mind you, it'd be one thing, some other rich person, hey, you know, just desperate for life, you know, like people in the world looking for a fountain of youth, trying to survive and trying to live forever. But here's the king, you know, he gets all these resources based on hearsay of a little maid. And so something about the way she was in that situation and the way with great confidence that she said that, and the compassion at the same time. And see, our compassion for people really does make a difference. And believing that the God of heaven, through his servant, could take care of someone that he cared dearly for, he invests all these resources and going to send this whole group of people out to try to make a difference. Now, of course, the king of Israel, he's kind of nervous. In verse 6 it says, "And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, saying, now when this letter is come unto thee, behold, I have therewith sent Naaman my servant to thee, that thou mayest recover him of the leprosy. And it came to pass, when the king of Israel had read the letter, that he rent his clothes and said, am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man does send unto me to recover a man of his leprosy? Wherefore I consider, I pray you, and see how he seeketh a quarrel against me." Now, I was thinking about this. Of course, the king of Israel, at this time, he's not the prophet of God, but he's looking, man, what do they want from me? And I thought, you know, this is a response of really religion in general today. You know, people with issues and problems, you know, man, what does somebody expect me to do about this? Because that was his response. You know, we have all these issues around the world, and, you know, and the reason, you know, we've got to really start fasting and praying and really looking at the situation of the world and say, you know what, not who's going to help them, but how can I help them? And because here's the king, he just rends clothes and my God. But Elijah, confident, he said, no, I know God. Verse 8, it says, "And it was so when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him come down to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel." He said, "King, why are you hopeless?" And when you rent your clothes, that means it's a desperate situation. You know, don't you know that the representative of God is here, and this is the way God worked at this particular time? And so Naaman came with his horses and his chariot and stood at the door of the house of Elisha. Elisha sent a messenger unto him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come again to thee, and thou shalt be clean." And Naaman was wroth, and he went away and said, "Behold, I thought he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Are not Arbana and Pharpar rivers of Damascus better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in a rage. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, now this is a good way to handle people that turn away from God in a rage. You think about this. And his servants came near and spake unto him and said, My father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldest thou not have done it? How much rather when he saith thee, Wash and be clean. Now, I realize they were servants talking to him, but they could have just let him stew in his own anger. But they, my father, they have an endearment for him. You know, think about what you're doing, you know. And we're going to meet people that are going to turn away from God in a rage. And think about how you approach them and talk to them. Verse 14, then went he down. And honestly, if you really think about it here, there's just total unappreciation for God's way. This is the way God said to do it. The man of God chose him. He said, just go wash and be clean in Jordan seven times. And you're going to find people, as long as you serve the Lord, they just have a total unappreciation for God's way of doing things. And you don't blow their doors off. You just say, my father. And don't call him father, because you know Matthew talked about that. But verse 14, then he went down and dipped himself seven times in Jordan, according to the saying of the man of God. And his flesh came again like unto the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. And he returned to the man of God, he and all his company, and came and stood before him and said, Behold, I know that there is no God. Behold, now I know there is no God in all the earth but in Israel. Now therefore I pray thee, take a blessing of thy servant. But he said, As the Lord liveth, before whom I stand, I will receive none. And he urged him to take it, but he refused. And Naaman said, Shall there not then, I pray thee, be given to thy servant two mules, burden of earth, for thy servant will henceforth offer neither burnt offering nor sacrifice unto other gods, but unto the Lord. Now Elisha here, he had no expectation of anything in return for just basically doing what God told him to do, for being a good servant. He has no expectation, not looking for anything in return. Even though he's dealing with someone that has power and wealth and ability, none of that means anything to him at all. He just simply was carrying out his duty. You know, he believes, I believe, he's in a profitable servant. And now verse 18, And this thing the Lord pardon thy servant, that when my master goeth into the house of Rimmon to worship there, and he leaneth on my hand, and I bow myself in the house of Rimmon, when I bow down myself in the house of Rimmon, the Lord pardon thy servant in this thing. And he said unto him, Go in peace. So he departed from him a little way. Now here we have the other servant beginning verse 20, and he doesn't have the same honorable mindset as the little maid there. But he said, But Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, said, Behold, my master has spared Naaman the Syrian in not receiving at his hands that which he brought. So we see, number one, in him the condemnation of the Christ-like. The condemnation of the Christ-like, because he just has Elisha just has a Christ-like character. You know, hey, I'm just giving out what God gave me. You know, it's no big deal. I didn't come here to gain anything. I don't want anything in return. And here's a servant that's walked with this man of God and seen miracles. He's condemning him for not using, basically, his blessing for his own personal advantage, you know. And he said he condemns that, you know. And he's frustrated by that because he obviously, looking at it, man, we could have had something pretty good out of this. Elisha, what are you thinking, man? This guy had wealth and riches, you know. You didn't ask for it, so surely you could have had it. And he condemns that mindset because he didn't have it. And then, number two, notice the confidence in his covetousness. The confidence in his covetousness. And now, notice how he says it here. And behold, my master has spared name of the Syrian and not receiving at his hands that which he brought. Notice it. But as the Lord liveth, I will run after him and take somewhat of him. Yeah, it never dawned upon him that the wisdom that God gave Elisha to tell him to go dip in the Jordan seven times with the same wisdom that said, we don't need to take anything from this guy. It never dawned upon him that, you know what, that might have been the same wisdom, the same spirit operating and say, well, we don't need his stuff, you know. But he has great confidence, as the Lord liveth, even using God's name, just as sure as God lives, I'm going to go chase this guy and I'm going to get something from him. Notice the confidence in that covetousness that basically I'm going to have his stuff. Just as sure as God lives, what he has, I'm going to get some of it, you know. And not a good attitude for a servant, you know. Last thing we see, the coldness of his conscience. The coldness of his conscience. Because he reads further and he runs. Where we go ahead and read it. It says, so Gehazi followed after Naaman. And when Naaman saw him running after him, he lighted down from the chair to meet him and said, is all well? And he said, all is well. My master has sent me, saying, behold, now even there come to me from Mount Ephraim two young men of the sons of the prophets. Give them, I pray thee, a talent of silver and two changes of garments. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him. It's funny how Naaman said, be content. Be content. And he gave him more than he asked for, but be content, you know. Because he already had more than he needed. He had the man of God and was called to be a servant. And Naaman said, be content, take two talents. And he urged him and bound two talents of silver in two bags with two changes of garments and laid them upon two of his servants, and they bare them before him. And when he came to the tower, he took them from their hand and bestowed them in the house. And he let the men go, and they departed. But he went in and stood before his master. What we talk about this, first of all, he just went out lied to the guy. You know, he's been doing this work in the name of the Lord. He went, goes to the back to Gehazi, lies to him, said, my master sent me to get your stuff, you know. And then he went in, and Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. Still, just clearly lying to him, you know. And he said, went not mine heart with thee when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? Now, this is a good question. Is it a time to receive money and to receive garments and oliveyards and vineyards and sheep and oxen and men servants and maid servants? Is it a time? Is that what we're here for? Is it a time? The leprosy therefore of Naaman shall cleave unto thee and unto thy seed forever. And he went out from his presence a leper, as white as snow. Two different servants. We see one. Now here's a little maid, really earthly speaking, is in a worse situation than Gehazi is. Taken from her homeland and pretty much made a servant from a time of a youth. And she just happens to be being a servant. And she sees somebody that's close to her that says, you know what, God could help him. And just with a heart to say, no, man, what did God, my Lord, with that prophet in Samaria? And, you know, and the word gets out, you know, here's this little maid here that was captured from her homeland. She's serving Naaman's wife, and she's just, it's amazing. She just has a heart that believes that if Naaman could get to where she used to live, where the prophet in Samaria, God could heal him. And in fact, she has a burden and really wishes that it could somehow happen. And then she has such confidence that when you get there, that the man of God will have the answer, that, you know, he's not going to call down fire from heaven like the disciples wanted to do on a couple of different occasions. Lord, we saw some of the followers not with us. Can we call down fire from heaven? And Jesus said, what? You know not what manner and spirit you're of? You know, and then all of a sudden, and the king hears this, and he spares no expense. We're going to get Naaman to where this guy is at. This testimony means something. And then all this going on, and here's the servant of God. And you ought to read 2 Kings, and you see what Gehazi was there with, to see different miracles that had taken place. And for him to walk through all these miracles and to look at everything that God has done and stop and say, you know, we need to get something for what we've been doing for God. Instead of saying, you know what, we've got it. We've got God, you know. I mean, I love reading Kings. I love reading these stories, you know, and how different. In fact, you just back up just a little bit. Look at 1 Kings, chapter 4. So we're almost done here. We're just looking at a few of the miracles here. 1 Kings 4. And it says, now there cried a certain woman of the wives of the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that the servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is come to take unto him my two sons to be bondmen. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in thy house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house save a pot of oil. Then he said, go borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. And when thou art come in, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shall pour out in all those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her and upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that she said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel more. And the oil stayed. And she came and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay the debt. Live thou and thy children on the rest. And verse 80 says, and so here's a miracle. Take one pot of oil, pours it out, several pots, filled. Verse 8, and fell on the day that Elisha passed the Shunem, where was a great woman, and she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as often as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now she said to her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall. Let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be, when he cometh to us, that he shall turn in thither. And it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber. And he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto her, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldest thou be spoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said unto her, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, call her. And when he called her, she stood in the door. And he said, about this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. She said, this is impossible. Don't lie to me. My husband's old, and I don't have a son. And the woman conceived and bare a son at the season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father, to the reapers. And he said to his father, my head, my head. And he said to the lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called for unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. And she sat on an ass and took and said to a servant, drive and go forth, slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. And she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, is all well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within me, and the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me. And she said, pardon me, then she said, Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, do not deceive me? Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins, take my staff in thine hand. Go thy way, if thou meet any man, salute him not. If any salute thee, answer not again, and lay my staff upon the face of the child. Can you imagine that mission, you know? He takes off, so he's got the staff. And this is the servant of the man of God, you know. And he's been walking, he's seen these miracles already. These things have been going on. And he's like, the widow's son, this woman's son is dead. And he's taking the staff. And you want me to do what? And she, don't talk to anybody. Just take the staff and what? And just lay it upon the child, you know. And he's, you know what he does? Boom, he takes off. And he does it, amen. Because he believes in the God of Elisha. And the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee. And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice nor hearing. Why did God do that? You know, what was it? You know, everything. God is just amazing. You know, just he does things. You know, I'm sure it was just any old staff, you know, that he had. But somehow that was God's plan for somehow that being that staff being used to put that child in a situation and be resurrected when Elisha got there. And Elisha passed before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to him to meet him and told him again, saying, the child is not awake. And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and laid upon the child and put his mouth on his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. You know, people don't realize this, but years ago when like somebody would be in labor and shit was going on, people used to pace back and forth in the house. When somebody's in great illness in the hospital, they would go back and forth. That's because of this, what they see in the Bible here. That's how they got started. Because people, the Elisha, man of God, this, they would pace back and forth and they would pray, just like we see in the scriptures here. And it says here, then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon the child, and the child sneezed 7 times, and the child opened his eyes. Then he called Gehazi and said, call this Shunammite. So he called her. And when she was come in unto him, he said, take up thy son. Now, Gehazi was in on all this. He got to experience this. You know, if you walk through that, what would you want with some money or some raiment? I mean, just to be there and see that happen, I mean, that's rewarding of itself, you know. I mean, and think of a service today when we preach Christ to someone, give out gospel tracts, and someone gets saved. They're not saved for a month, a day, or 325 years. They're saved forever. Man, why would we want anything else except with that? I mean, and to see the miracles and people of God is healed, lives strengthened, and we see, wow, this is amazing. But God just said, no, my master's kind of missed the boat here. You know, we can serve God and we can still get something out of this. And he ended up walking, catching the leprosy, unfortunately, the name it had. But let's just want to encourage you tonight. You know, this little maid here, man, what a testimony. Everybody here, you know, we all have different conditions. Like I said Sunday, you know, none of us can ever understand any of us. You know, there's nobody in this world that really knows how you feel except but God. And God has called you specifically to be in a situation where he can use you, you know. I guess if you study the life of Joseph, you know, I mentioned this Sunday also, how all the horrible things happened to him. And Joseph said that God did send me before you to preserve life. The life that Joseph lived, God allowed it so he could be used in a greater way to help people, you know. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. There are people out there that hate you. There are people out there that would like to destroy you, but God means that for good. So be encouraged by that and be content in that situation and have compassion on the captors, you know, the people holding you bondage. You know, ask God to give you a love and a heart that says, Lord, would you just help them? Would to God that they knew my Savior. You know, next time somebody curses you on the job or something like that and look at your coworker and say, would to God they knew my Savior. Or if maybe you deal in customer service and somebody comes in and everybody's griping about the employee, whatever, not employee, but the person came off the street and just doing this, whatever, and just say, look at your coworker and say, would to God they knew my Savior. You might be, they'll be like, what? Are you okay? let me tell you what that means, you know. Because if it weren't for my Savior, that could be me out there. And depending on where you were, that was you. Depending on what kind of life you came from. I mean, abandoned. Thank God. He rescued you if he did. But then, you know, and you know what? Those simple confessions. You know, I laugh. I walked out of the Bible college that I went to because of all their humanistic philosophy, and I guess I'm done with it anyway. Humanistic philosophy and trying to manipulate things and trying to influence, you know, everything. You know, like when I came here, all the guys say, you know, when you advertise for the church, put your picture on everything and put your this and that, you know, so everybody can see you and see your family. You have a beautiful family, so you should use your family to advertise. That's, you know, it's our website, our family, our picture not on there. I feel like the Holy Spirit can draw people, amen. and all these different types of things that they tell you to do. And here's a little maid, she's just making conversation. Would to God. And the king gets word of it. And here in our modern day religion, everybody's trying to maneuver and to manipulate things to get to create influence and to maximize the results. And somebody just loves God, has compassion, and cares about everybody, and it moves the heart of the king. It's that simple, you know. You know, this life really is simple, man. If we just get back in tune with God, and again, I keep saying, stir up that salvation. If you really are saved, and if God's salvation has done something for you, surely somebody else needs that, you know. And there'd be something, would to God, you know. I was eating lunch this afternoon, and I was on the phone talking with somebody while they were cursing me out, and I was just praying. I said, man, you know I love you. I'm just praying for you, and I just hope you'll understand how much Christ loves you. And the guy running the restaurant over there, I can see him. He was eating. He was kind of looking over at me. I thought, praise the Lord, amen. You know, and it confirmed what I was supposed to be preaching tonight. I said, but may God give us a heart that just really believes that God can make the difference. And when you leave here, you're going to see a lot of different type of people leaving here tonight. You know, let's not be like the king of Israel that said, man, what can I do? What do you expect me to do? No, we just got to get them to our God and believe that, you know, God allowed me to see that person because, you know, there should be something in that, Lord, somehow, some way, use me. Where you're at right now. You know, God has, I mean, I just wish everybody could really catch the vision of how much God wants to use everybody in this room. God has such phenomenal plans for you that it would, you know, and we want to make it happen. And here's this, again, this little maid, she probably didn't even, since she got to heaven, didn't know all this was written about her. that's pretty amazing. Her name's not even mentioned. But you know what? She's with Jesus right now, and somebody just says, hey, that's me. And she's all right with that, amen. She didn't make a name for herself, but God made a name for her, amen. What a God. Imagine. Just a simple servant convinced that God can do anything. May God give us a vision and a heart and compassion to where we go out and look upon the next leper we see and say, would to God they were with my Savior. Would to God they were with my Savior. Father, tonight, I'd like to say more, but I trust your Holy Spirit to say the rest. And so, Lord, whatever application you're wanting to make in the hearts of live people tonight, I pray you would do it, because when you make the application, it's heard the best. Lord, I just pray that there's some little people here tonight, some that are little in their own eyes, that don't feel like they can do very much. I pray you strengthen them and encourage them. And Father, some of us just need to get more little. And so, Father, help me to continually humble myself so that the power of yourself can be exalted. And Lord, I just forgive me for so many times that I'm bigger than I really am. And so, Lord, I just pray that you'll help me to learn from this little maid tonight. And Father, I'm going to leave these doors here. And Lord, there's overwhelming needs in this city. But you put me here for a reason. And I thank you for that. And you put me here not because of anything that I have, but because of the God that you are. And thank you for a great call to be such a simple servant. Father, would you just give me the grace to take your staff and go lay it upon some dead person, someone dead in their trespasses and sins, and may they be resurrected by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ by simple acts of obedience. Lord, just what a wonderful life you've called us unto. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Take your homes and pray and meet the Lord. And if you heard from him, just talk to him about it and let him make full application in your life.